This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this loaded, jam-packed Friday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to as it has been a pretty busy past 24 to 48 hours relative to the D.C. sports scene. We'll cover it all here in the next 3.5 hours. Matt Max behind the glass taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. We'll have a couple of guests stop by the program. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lacanfora going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. JLC will talk to us about the Commanders offseason. We'll get his thoughts on the big game. We'll also get his thoughts on the NFL draft as well as the NFL honors, and we'll discuss that coming up here momentarily. But welcome in. I always love doing Friday night shows because most of the general public is pre-gaming, or at least in my age demographic. Most of the general public is pre-gaming, getting their birthday suits ready, getting ready to go out and have a good time. We'll have a good time here over the next 3.5 hours. We got the NBA trade deadline that has came and went. We'll be joined by our pal Mo Dakhil of Bleacher Report in The Athletic to discuss all things NBA. That's coming up at about 7:45. The Caps with a big-time victory last night, 2 in a row, as they were winners over the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3. And what we all care about, Alex Ovechkin lighting the lamp again, netting goal 879. Now just 16 away from Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. Mad Max, if we've got it ready, the call. John Walton, Ken Sabourin, right here on 106.7. The Fan. Ovi gets things going in the first period with goal number 879.
As the Flyers come back with Konechny, darting into the zone, pulled up at the top of the left circle. Ovechkin, great stretch pass ahead to Strome, but couldn't field it cleanly. Now leaves it for Wilson, who cuts up the left side, and Ovechkin scores as he cut back through the right circle. The pass comes from the far side. It's goals in four straight for Alex Ovechkin, his 26th of the year, and 879, a step closer to 99. We're tied at one here in Philadelphia.
Always love hearing the great John Walton on the call. Boy, the things I would do for those pipes. I mean, he is just creme de la creme, top of the class. I mean, I am a play-by-play guy myself. You all know I do play-by-play for the Howard Bison football team. I can really enjoy a good call. I've loved watching the great one, you know, chase Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record. Hearing John Walton on all of these calls has been awesome. If Walton's get geeked up like that for 879, what the hell happens when he breaks the damn thing? I mean, John Walton's probably going to lose his mind.
Yeah, it's going to be – that call is going to be up there with
the
Pittsburgh call. It's going to be up there with
– the Stanley Cup call.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup call. It's going to be up with every single one of them.
Absolutely love hearing him on the call. Alex Ovechkin lighting the lamp in the first period. Connor McMichael getting in on the scoring action. Lars Eller lit the lamp. Jacob Chychrun getting in there as well for your Washington Capitals. And I'll admit, I didn't get to watch all of last night, but when I saw it was old Chucky Lindgren in net, I held my breath a little bit. Good defensive effort, I would say, though, overall, I guess, from the fellas. They end up scoring one more than the other team does, and that is the goal here as they keep pace with the second most points right now in the NHL. They are back in action Sunday as they take on the Utah Hockey Club. For all of you folks out there that complain and whine and moan about the Commanders' name, imagine being named the Utah Hockey Club.
Well, we kind of were for...
A football team has much more grace and elegance to it.
You think, right?
I would think. Well, yeah, than the Utah Hockey Club. But what do I actually know? Cashback in action Sunday. I'm actually on the air 11 to 12:15, leading you up into Caps hockey. So make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all weekend long. Speaking of the Caps, their roommate at Cap One Arena, the Wizards, they are in action tonight. New look Wizards, I might add. A bunch of guys not in the lineup tonight. None of the guys that were acquired via trade yesterday are going to make their debut tonight. It'll be a thin Wizards team as they got a tough one at home as they play host to the Eastern Conference leading Cleveland Cavaliers. You can check that one out over on the Team 980. We'll talk all things Wizards coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour. They were active at the trade deadline, an influx of young talent. They gained a couple of more first-round picks. In this 7 o'clock hour, I will tell you my favorite thing about the Wizards trade deadline. I'll tease it by saying this. I was pretty upset Wednesday night as I was on the air with you all. They saved face for damn sure with the moves that they made leading up to the buzzer yesterday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We'll talk about that. Top of the 7 o'clock hour. We had the NFL honors last night. That, to me, you know, normally, and we'll let you hear some of Snoop Dogg as we roll throughout the show here. Normally, I don't pay attention to the NFL honors, as Snoop Dogg eloquently pointed out, because we never have anyone that is there being represented. If last night in this week has been any indication of what is next for the quarterback they call Jesus, for the man they call Jaden Daniels, for the future of Washington football, if this past week was any indication, he has the National Football League in the palm of his hands. It is not even close. You want to talk about the guy that's got the moxie and the clean enough track record to be the face of the National Football League? You saw it all this week and specifically last night at the NFL Honors. The kid, I get goosebumps. I get emotional talking about it, Max, because he's that damn good.
He is, man. He's incredible.
In every facet of life.
Yeah.
They've been poking holes at him about the girlfriend thing, and he just keeps it. Max, I'm going to teach you something here.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not be teaching you, because who am I to try and downplay your culturedness, so to speak. You know what Jaden Daniels does, Max?
What's that?
He keeps it P more than anybody you could possibly know, Max.
It's true, he does.
I mean, he's as P as they come. He's got me wearing a chain in studio tonight. I said, I want to be like Jaden Daniels. I said, I may put my chain on tonight and come in studio. But no, man, watching this young man handle himself during this time period, and I've watched all the interviews because I'm a sicko. Max, I know you've peeped a lot of it too. Emphasis on me being a sicko. I told you I'm an addict for this thing. I'm wearing the damn patch right now. The crazy thing about it is you would never know it unless you're like somebody here locally or in his inner circle of people. He's like a fish out of water up there. He's nervous. He doesn't want to talk. He was on with Rich Eisen and some hilarious-ass comedian. And the comedian was telling some jokes that were a little raunchy, right? He was starting to talk about how he didn't think his daughters were hot. It was just crazy. But you can see Jaden is with all of that, loves the fun. But he was just like, you could tell a little mannerisms, right? His shoe, he kept like kicking the thing in front of him. And I'm like, oh, that's an awkward, that's an awkward 24-year-old up there not knowing what the hell he wants to say. And he doesn't want to say anything that'll get it canceled.
I love how you referred to Bert Kreischer just then, by the way. Just because so it took me a second. I was like, wait a minute. And that's why I said, oh, into the mic. Because I was like, oh, it clicked. But yeah, man. You know what I appreciated about the NFL honors last night? We got offensive rookie of the year out of the way first thing.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to turn it off.
Max? Why? Why though? Because it's his league.
It was 49-1.
Well, yeah. And
shout out Sam Monson.
Yeah, and I heard Sam Monson earlier today on Grant Danny. First of all, Sam, what were you doing, buddy? I mean, to zig when everyone zags, and I understand he gave a brilliant explanation as to why he voted Brock Bowers Offensive Rookie of the Year. It was the greatest tight end season since 1961 when Mike Ditka went Kanye crazy. And it is a long time.
We're moving on. You said Kanye crazy, and some things just came to the forefront of my mind today.
This is Overtime. It's a Friday night edition of Overtime.
It's true, it is.
We get a little raunchy on a Friday night.
We're all over the place in this opening segment.
Yeah, we are, because you brought up that weirdo Kanye West. He says He goes by Ye now. I don't know if you saw Don Lemon trying to catch up with him.
Listen, man, I got no comment on the rest of that situation.
Yeah, I'm about to say, we'll keep it P. How about that? and continue to move on, though. Last night at the NFL Honors, though, it was awesome to see. I will let you hear from Snoop Dogg a little bit later. There was some other controversy in the show. Our own Jaden Daniels, obviously, coming away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year, damn near had it unanimously, but Sam Monson had to zig when everyone zagged. Shout out to Sam. He was getting feisty in his replies, by the way, too, earlier today.
Listen, you got to go to battle some days. Some days your number is called and you have to bear the sword. And boy, did he today.
You know, I'm all about love and war. So
I know you are.
Sam Monson handling it like a G, I guess. Jaden Daniels comes away with Offensive Rookie of the Year. The Hail Maryland. I was going to say Hail Mary, and then it just slipped out. The Hail Jaden, I guess, Denton gets on me all the time. And by the way, have you seen our pal Denton Day's content from out in New Orleans?
He's crushing it.
Having it up. So super excited about that. But Jaden walks away with Moment of the Year for the Hail Mary. Offensive Rookie of the Year, obviously, because he was tremendous this year. But Dan Quinn did not win Coach of the Year. It went to Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings. We will get into that hot and heavy in the 8 o'clock hour because I got some thoughts on that. But overall, the NFL honors a smashing success. The other controversy, Max, that we saw, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a controversy because I think this was one of the closest MVP votes in terms of the on-the-field case that was made by both Josh Allen and Lamar. I think it was one of the closest races in recent memory. Josh Allen made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. And that is my argument for him. Because I remember all summer long, here on The Fan, here on the Infinity Sports Network, I was screaming from the mountaintops, sell the Bills. Sell the Bills. They lost Stephon Diggs. They lose Gabe Davis. Matt Milano didn't play the first half of this season. They had suffered a litany of attrition on the defensive side of the football. I did not think that Buffalo... I didn't think they'd win the division. You know, I was all over the Jets for whatever reason.
When your wide receiver trio is Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, and Keon Coleman, it's understandable for everybody to be a little bit, you know, suspect on.
Doesn't leave you much room for confidence, Max, is what I would say. And I look at just what he was able to do elevating that football team, and it goes back to what's the old soapbox that I will die on. Those $50, $60 million per year contracts are only saved for guys like Josh. You have to clearly be able to show, hey, I can elevate everyone around me no matter what the circumstances are. You can say bye-bye to Stephon Diggs. You can say bye-bye to Gabe Davis. And I will still have us as one of the upper echelon offenses in the National Football League. From a number standpoint, though, Lamar was just ridiculous, right? Lamar Jackson statistically was off the chain, to put it lightly, man. And I think both guys, were deserving of it. This is where I think people were upset. It's been a long time since the AP, when I say AP, that is Associated Press, it's been a long time since the Associated Press MVP was not the league MVP. And I think that is where a lot of the frustration has come from folks on social media. We'll let you hear from Dan Orlovsky. He gave his thoughts on NFL Live earlier today. And, you know, he has been Josh Allen all the way with this. So to hear that other perspective, I always think is super unique. But both guys were deserving of it. I think Lamar statistically was just better than Josh Allen was. But I think you can make the case for Josh that the supporting cast was a hell of a lot better. Like I said, making chicken salad out of chicken you know what. The other thing that was kind of controversial about last night, and what do they say? The same thing can make you laugh and make you cry. Sterling Sharpe inducted into the 2025 Hall of Fame, watching Shannon and their family go in, or having Sterling come to Shannon Towson, receive the award the way that he did, seeing a group of brothers, a pair of brothers, that have the love for each other that those two guys do, was really cool to watch. The one thing that folks are frustrated about with the Hall of Fame class, and I got to hear our own Grant Paulson give his thoughts a little bit earlier today, brought a chuckle out of your boy. Eli Manning snubbed as a first-time Hall of Famer. And I had to read that again. What do you mean he was snubbed as a first-time Hall of Famer?
First-time Hall of Very Good, perhaps?
You know, and we got some numbers that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show that kind of expose why that case is nothing. This is the group. This is via our guy Hembo of ESPN. This is the group of first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks: Bart Starr, Johnny Unitas, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw, Dan Fouts, Joe Montana, Jim Kelly, Elway, Marino, Steve Young, Aikman, Warren Moon, Brett Favre. And the last first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback we saw was Peyton Manning back in 2001. Tom Brady will be eligible next year. He doesn't belong in this group. He just doesn't. It's like,
just because you beat one of these guys twice,
it means
does
nothing.
Not put you on the list. Yeah.
It means nothing. Just because you're the last guy's brother means nothing. Just because you are funny doesn't mean you should just be voted into the Hall of Fame. I am glad that the NFL is not like the NBA, where anybody gets into the Hall of Fame. The NBA Hall of Fame process.
Well, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Correct. And excuse me on that. You're right. It is the Basketball Hall of Fame. But the NBA guys that subsequently get in, Max.
It's a little silly.
A lot of the time,
yeah.
It's just not deserving.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank. But we'll discuss that a little bit later on in the show. Jam-packed Friday night edition of OT. It's the Youngest in Charge and O. Willingham. You can call us 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Coming up at about 7:40, Mo Dakhil of The Athletic and Bleacher Report going to join us to discuss the Wizards trade deadline and the NBA trade deadline as a whole. That's what we will discuss when we come back. We'll take our first time out of the night. The Wizards active at the trade deadline. I'll give you my favorite thing about the deadline, plus go through all the moves next. This is The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock as we take you throughout your Friday night here in the DMV. Coming up in about 40 minutes, about Mo Dakhil of Bleacher Report and The Athletic. He covers the NBA. He is going to join us. We get his thoughts on just a super wild NBA trade deadline. I think it was Chris Russell that said this yesterday, or a couple of days ago, and shocker, Chris Russell saying something of of note. Kidding. That, man, the NBA trade deadline being in Super Bowl week is like such a slap in the face to us media folk who are going to have nothing to talk about next week.
But Adam Silver wants to fight the NFL. But this Adam is how Silver, he's doing it.
Yeah, he wants to battle. You want war? You got one. Says Adam Silver. But it has been one of the more exciting NBA trade deadlines in recent memory, from a national level, on a local level here in D.C. with the Wizards. Luka Doncic on the move. Jimmy Butler on the move. Kevin Durant potentially was going to be on the move, ultimately staying put in Phoenix. But as we take a look ahead, as we are starting to creep upon All-Star break in the NBA, as we take a look ahead, things are going to be really interesting throughout the NBA in that second half of the season, especially here in Washington, as we get you up to speed with the latest with the Washington Wizards. The Wizards went into the trade deadline feeling like a team that was trying to get its head above water. Nasty 16-game losing streak that they were on. Kyle Kuzma with just, quite honestly, unprofessional public post-game comments about displeasure with his role. There was some confusion, in my opinion, about the competitive spirit of this team. And I don't want to say confusion. I'm taking the kitty damn gloves off, all right? There was no confusion. I genuinely question the competitive spirit of this basketball team night in and night out. And I don't want to be a contrarian or a conspiracy theorist, but listen up here for a second. Wizards are in the midst of a 3-game winning streak. Before that 3-game winning streak, they had lost 16 in a row, and it got throttled back-to-back nights by 30 at home against the Toronto Raptors in a Anthony Davis-less L.A. Lakers team, right? And the next morning, everyone opened up their show with the Wizards. I think the Junkies did. Even B. Mitch and Finley opened up with the Wizards.
Shocking.
Danny did. Chris Russell, Kevin Sheehan, Craig Hoffman, everyone did. And Brian Keefe was on the Junkies that Friday morning. And they go out the next night, and I think it was the Brooklyn win. No, it wasn't the Brooklyn win. It was the win against Charlotte.
Yes.
That they got. Then they go out and beat Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Then they go out and beat Brooklyn. And they played just night and day different in those basketball games. And I go, does it take the entire town talking bad about you to play hard? That's how I'm looking at it. And I continue to be, you know, open and honest with my displeasure with, I don't know if it's the coaches, I guess it's the coaches, not getting this team to be able to play hard every night. There's no reason you should be down 35 every damn night. And that's what we were seeing in this recent stretch of play for the Wizards. And you fast forward post-trade deadline, they've won three in a row. Well, not post-trade deadline, but now that we're a day removed, they've won three in a row. And the way that they played the other night against Brooklyn, I think it was 40 assists on 44 made field goals. Ludicrous. Out of this world. The defensive effort, if you watch that game, different. Out of this world. You saw the first career triple-double for Bilal Coulibaly. There was the post-game photo of Jordan Poole, Corey Kispert, Anthony Gill, and Bilal. You remove Kyle Kuzma out of the equation. Fox Newsma, as Mad Max likes to call
Thank
him.
You. I appreciate the credit on that. It's not original from me at all, but
it's hilarious.
It's incredible nickname.
It is so good. You remove Fox Newsma from the equation, and the synergy of the basketball team, at least from my vantage point, seemed as if it was at an all-time high.
Like you said, it was night and day.
Night and day, literally, man. Balls flowing. Defensively, they're on a string. The effort's there. Rashawn Holmes getting ready to fight somebody over Bub Carrington being knocked down aggressively to the hardwood. So I pray. It's that deep for me. Your boy is talking to the man upstairs about it. I pray that this is something that you see throughout the rest of the season. I'm not saying, first of all, don't go on any more three-game win streaks. Actually, don't win at all.
Go on another 16-game losing streak, and then maybe.
And then maybe. But it's not about, to me, I'm not upset with the losses. It was the uncompetitive, uninspiring losses. That's what got me up in arms with this group. And if the last three games are any type of indication, maybe we're starting to see a turn of the tide. To kind of summarize what we've seen from the Wizards at the trade deadline, I'll tell you what went out, and I'll tell you what came in. Out goes Kyle Kuzma, as he is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Out goes Jonas Valanciunas. Out goes Patrick Baldwin Jr., both of those young men, Patrick Baldwin Jr. in Milwaukee. Jonas Valanciunas now with the Sacramento Kings. Jared Butler shipped out of here to the Memphis Grizzlies, along with Marvin Bagley, Johnny Davis, and 5 second-round picks. So, talking about taking out the trash. Guys were moved. Now, for Jonas Valanciunas, it was interesting. On its surface, I said, wow. You signed him to a 3-year, $30 million contract this offseason in free agency. I would hope you get more back than what they got, and it was a couple of seconds, ultimately, from Sacramento. But what came in, I think, is going to be the difference maker. What came in is what I think helps this front office, first and foremost, save face. And I know people are going to say, what do you mean save face? Psh. The way that this roster was constructed this offseason, you couple that with the piss-poor performance that they were getting during the 16-game losing streak, you can make the argument that they did not balance this roster out. And I'm not saying put together a roster that's supposed to be competitive and win games, but you understand when you are putting together a young team, when you are rebuilding, deconstructing, as Will Dawkins calls it, you need to have the proper mix of veterans sprinkled around your roster to be able to teach and help grow and develop your young pups. And I'm sorry. Kyle Kuzma is not the ideal veteran for your basketball team. He's not. And I've heard a lot of different interesting stories about Kyle here in the past 24 hours since he's been dealt, from people on podcasts that are actually played with Kyle to folks around Cap One. The team is better off with him not being here. The locker room dynamic will be better off with him not being here. And that's not to say that he was disliked. But it's sort of like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. The Wizards are going young. They're listening to Lil Uzi. They're listening to V's. And they're just youthing it up. Jordan Poole, to me, at 25 years of age and a champion, they can relate to him. He's looked at as like the cool older brother. He's actually shooting the damn cover off of the basketball right now. So Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, and the youngins, those dudes gravitate to Jordan Poole. It's very visible when you're out at Cap One Arena, being in that locker room, you get to see it. But I continue to be impressed, man. Will Dawkins and company, what came in to me is why they save face. I told you what went out. What comes in, Chris Middleton, who's got 1 year left on his deal. It's a $31 million player option that he'll have the decision on exercising this summer. A.J. Johnson, the number 23 overall pick from this past year's draft. You have Marcus Smart, a veteran coming over from the Memphis Grizzlies. Colby Jones, a second-year guy that comes over from Sacramento. Alex Len, we all know, famous for his time at the University of Maryland. And then this is what really was the sweeteners to me. You got back a 2025 first-round pick from Memphis. You got back a 2026 first-round pick. You had a really good pick swap that you're going to have in 2028, and then you acquire 2 seconds. So essentially, because I count A.J. Johnson as a first-round pick because he was a first-round pick in this draft, you essentially brought in 3 first-round picks at the trade deadline if you were Mike Winger and Will Dawkins. But like I said, I can give a rat's ass about the picks. At some point, you have to start working your way towards putting a competitive basketball team on the floor. But before you can even do that, before you can put a competitive product on the floor, guess what you must have? An identity, a culture, something that has not existed in our nation's capital with the pro basketball team since John Wall and Bradley Beal were dapping each other up after the Celtics series. They haven't had a culture. Now they have one. Chris Middleton and his story, I talk about it. A guy that started in the G League and worked his way up to the NBA level and has turned himself into a multi-time All-Star. That's the type of veteran that you want influencing your young guards. Bub Carrington, Bilal, Keyshawn George, Marcus Smart, another what? Champion. And a guy who is as tough as nails and as tough as a competitor as they come on the defensive end. And when you talk about, see, Will Dawkins and company, they keep talking about how they want to be a defensive-minded basketball team, but yet they bring in nobody with a defensive-minded attitude. I think the draft picks of Bilal and Alex Sarr represent that, yes. But bring me a hard-nosed veteran that's about that action, that has been in the fire before. Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton will do the Lord's work to this locker room. See, all that half-assing, arguing with officials, not running back on defense, getting your ass kicked in by 35-plus, you think Marcus Smart wants to sit around and be a part of that? It's embarrassing to guys that have an NBA resume and NBA legacy. Point blank, period. So we'll see what ends up happening. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Your calls in reaction on the Washington Wizards trade deadline. Plus, I'll give you my favorite thing about the deadline. And if you were just paying attention, it's a little tease for you. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fan. Still moving and grooving along here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Wizards and Cavs in action over at Capital One Arena. We will keep you up to speed on the score of that one. As the night rolls on, newsflash for you. Wizards up early, 15-10 over Cleveland. 6:40 left in the opening period, or quarter, I should say. Look at me, all my hockey jargon. I'm calling quarters periods. Look at me, Max. They're up 15-10. Bilal Coulibaly, 7 of DC's 15 points. They host the Eastern Conference leading Cleveland Cavaliers. And the game over on our sister station, the Team 980. I'll keep you up to speed on that all night long. Speaking of the Wizards, though, man, it was a super impactful trade deadline from my vantage point. I love the moves that they made. They went right up to the buzzer, so to speak, in terms of how active they were, being on the phone, calling teams. And I think that's what you're supposed to do. And I think the way that the deadline ultimately finishes for the Wizards, you got to be thrilled if you're Will Dawkins, Mike Winger, and this entire front office, man. I think it's something really, really cool to look forward to, man. The Wizards brought in a lot of draft picks, and they brought in a lot of veterans. They brought in three first-round picks. A.J. Johnson, the player that they brought in, which was the number 23 overall pick from this past summer's draft. They bring in him, a 2025 first-round pick that I believe belongs to Memphis. They bring in a 2026 first-round pick, as well as a pick swap in 2028. But to me, the picks are not what I am, you know, so geeked up about, right? Obviously, the picks are cool. In order to, like, successfully rebuild, you're going to have swings and misses, and you got to take, you know, your chances with, you know, which young guys you're going to try and give a chance. And I think the amount of young guys that they now have brought in here, it will give you the opportunity to hopefully come away with some guys that can eventually be key rotational players. Maybe someone develops into a star. Right now, Alex Sarr looks like the guy that is most likely to be destined to turn into a star. He's missed the past four games with the ankle sprain, as he misses tonight's action as well. But I think the hope is that you get your star in this year's draft, where guys like Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, just to name a few, it's a talented, loaded group. But this is what I love about the Wizards' trade deadline. Bringing in Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, two veterans that I think, oh, my God! Bilal Coulibaly just tried to end somebody's damn life.
As soon as I turned my head away from the game, damn.
Oh, my God. I hope they showed a replay.
I'm going to need a clip on, from Monumental with the Wizards.
Me watching the game and trying to do the show is going to be just no dice because I react like that. But where was I at? This is what was important to me about this trade deadline and what I loved.
Let me just, somebody who was driving their car definitely was like, almost got into an accident.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry about that, people. But what I continue to say is if you're going to go with this plan, yeah, Bilal just looks more aggressive getting downhill tonight. And that's what I've been wanting from him. Because the way he looked against Toronto, it was just, I was sad. But if you're going to deconstruct and clearly go young the way the Wizards have, it does you no service to have a super young team with what I consider bad vets. And I'm just going to be real. You can use your context clues in terms of what I'm talking about. But bringing in a vet like Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, those are guys, Marcus Smart in particular, that can help you identify a culture and an identity in terms of who you want to be. Right now, if I ask you or ask anybody on the Wizards organization, who do you want to be? They're going to start with defense. You want to be a defensive-minded team. How the hell are you a defensive-minded team and you acquire no talent that specializes in defense? Well, insert Marcus Smart, a guy that is a defensive player of the year, a guy that's done it at a championship level, and a guy that isn't going to go for being down 30 at home to the Toronto Raptors. They need veterans that can push these rooks in a way that maybe makes them uncomfortable. You gotta be willing to put your foot up somebody's ass sometimes to get the results that you want. And I think these veterans being on this roster, helping out Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, even 25-year-old Jordan Poole, I might add. These are the type of veterans that you need. 1-800-636-1067. Your reaction to the Washington Wizards trade deadline as they were active all the way up until the buzzer yesterday. Kyle Kuzma shipped out. Jonas Valanciunas shipped out. The Wizards bring in two key vets in Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, as well as three first-round picks. Are you happy with where things currently stand? Your reaction to the Wizards trade deadline? Little wants to tap it. What's up, Little?
Big fella, shout out to Mad Max, man. Yeah, I love the moves they made. I was telling Max, especially Marcus Smart, big fella, because he's going to match up. He's going to D down the number one shooter on the opposite team, you know? Well, I got one more issue, man. I'm going to get off the line because I'm going to let everybody get in. I'm just getting in from the gym, working out a little bit. Man, I wish they'd leave that commander's name alone, man. Oh. First of all, why the hell you want to mess with momentum? You know what I'm saying, man? A lot of these people calling in don't even live in this area. So it's a rule. If you don't live in the DMV area, don't call and comment on his name, man, please. Because it's sickening the head. Why would you want to mess with momentum? You just had a team win 14 games. Last I looked at, man, they had teams down in Charlotte, Carolina. They had teams in Baltimore. These people, man, calling, talking about, you know, they ain't going to buy no more gifts. So what? So what?
Yeah.
The man is rude, man.
Appreciate the call. The 1-800-636-1067. I don't address ignorance. So if you want to talk about the name, argue about the name, call when I'm not on.
Just say what Josh Harris said. Move on. Yeah, it's time to move on.
Just move on. Some of you are probably the same people that stalk your exes and follow their social medias. That's what this sounds like. That's the type of behavior we're seeing. Wizards playing well right now. Jordan Poole just got an and-one on a fast break. They're up 27-23 over Cleveland. The effort that they're playing with, once again, is strong here. Let me find out it was Kyle Kuzma's fault. Jupe is in West Virginia. What's going on, Jupe?
What's going on, Liddell? I'm remind you, Timothy Daniels.
For sure, for sure.
Hey, listen.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen. I was just telling my man on the phone that, you know, I fell off of basketball once Kobe left because things just ain't been the same. But, you know, I'm a homer, and I'm always keep an eye on my Wizards. And I'm really liking what they're doing. And I was just telling him, like, yo, the time to strike is now. It's no roadblocks like how we got in the NFL, like with Pat Holmes. There's no road through Pat Holmes in the NBA right now. LeBron about to retire. The time to strike is now, and I'm liking what they're doing. I'm about to start really paying attention more because, you know, I got those nicknames, Timothy Daniels, seat belts. I got to come up with some nicknames for these fellas on his hardwood. But, yo, I'm liking what they're doing. And I'm gonna pay attention more, you know, do more paying attention to them.
Yeah,
now,
man.
Next time I call in, I'm gonna have some nickname for you.
For sure, Jupe. I appreciate you tapping as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. The other part of this young Wizards team that I really am growing to like is their second round pick from when they selected Bilal Coulibaly a year ago, Tristan Vukovic. He is giving them really good minutes at the five spot, can stretch the floor. Not the best athlete, but I think he's got pick and pop ability and can eventually grow into a rotational piece for this team. You know what I love? It's 3:12 left to go in the opening quarter, and Bilal Coulibaly is bringing the ball up the floor. Now, he just turned it over, I might add. But the fact that he's got the freedom to do that.
Giving full context, but yeah.
Yes. I will give full context. I never want to shortchange the listening audience. A lot more to get to here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I will take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot more to get to in about 15 minutes. A pal, Mo Dakhil, who covers the NBA for the Athletic and Bleacher Report, will join us when we get back. My favorite thing about the trade deadline for the Washington Wizards. Plus, we'll keep you up to speed with Wizards and Cavs next. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL _BTP. It's a Friday night edition of Overtime as we take you up to 10 o'clock. Wizards basketball on the docket right now. They're up 33-31 at home over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Under a minute left to go in the opening quarter. Bilal Coulibaly leading all Wizards with 12 points early in this one. I told you when we came back, I would tell you the thing I loved the most about the Wizards trade deadline. After watching this team now over the past couple of minutes, there are a few things I actually really like about the Washington Wizards trade deadline. The number one thing that I like about the Wizards trade deadline, I've been hinting at it, the veterans that they brought in and how impactful guys are going to be to the young pups around them. Chris Middleton, a guy that started off in the G League, turned himself into a multi-time all-star. Marcus Smart. You want to talk about establishing a culture, creating an identity? They say they want to do it on the defensive side of the floor. No better guy to have in your program than a reigning defensive player of the year, or a former, rather, defensive player of the year in Marcus Smart to come, you know, not just talk about defense, but actually do it. Allow guys to see how Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, and company carry themselves. That to me is huge, and the number one thing that I love about the trade deadline or post-trade deadline for this team. The other thing I'm loving is the opportunity that it's going to get. What we're seeing right now, and Chris Miller, one of my favorites doing play-by-play, on the broadcast just mentioned it, he wants to look at a 10-game sample size for Bilal Coulibaly after the trade deadline. getting the increased opportunities with Kyle Kuzma not being in the lineup, getting the ball in his hands more. And we're already seeing it. Like, the Wizards have put the ball in his hands a ton already here tonight. And I think there's going to be good Bilal. There's going to be bad Bilal. We just had a turnover to end the quarter. But you're going to see the best of this young man. You're going to let him have an opportunity to grow and develop. And it's not always going to be pretty. That's the thing I want to keep harping on. It ain't supposed to always be pretty. But the one thing I'll say is he needs the opportunity. He needs the reps. That's how you get better. Point blank, period. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Mo Dakhil joins the program. We'll take a spin around the association and recap the trade deadline. An eventful one for the Wizards. We'll get Mo Dakhil's thoughts next. I'm feeling good here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge. Lynnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. We get to actually care about Wizards basketball now that the NFL season is over and the trade deadline was super active for the DC family. And the reason I'm feeling really good right now is the report said that a certain somebody wasn't going to be available to play tonight. And with 11:37 left to go in the first half, we see our first sighting of one of the newest Wizards, 20-year-old A.J. Johnson. He was the 23rd overall pick in this past year's draft. A guy that's 6'6", can shoot the ball from the perimeter, is a pretty bouncy and dynamic athlete. I'm curious to see how Brian Keefe and this Wizards player development staff grow a guy like A.J. Johnson, another athletic wing guard that, you know, has some really good physical tools. I continue to describe the Wizards rebuild like this. You bring in as many young pups as possible and you see which ones stick. Not all of them are going to stick. Some will end up being key rotational pieces. One of them may bloom into a star. That is the hope in how you get out of the basement of the NBA. Right now we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline. We find my guy Mo Dakhil, who writes for the NBA for Bleacher Report. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Mo Dakhil _NBA. Mo, what's going on, my brother? Long time no speak, my man. I hope life is treating you well, my friend.
I can't complain. It's been a very busy few days, but I got no complaints, my man.
I'm about to say, man, obviously, you know, here in our nation's capital, folks putting the Wizards front office under the microscope, man. A nasty 16-game losing streak they had. They've had it twice now this year. We've seen, you know, them have the second worst point differential in NBA history. But it felt like there was a sense of hope based off of the way they were able to maneuver at the deadline. The biggest thing that I'm a fan of, Mo, if you're going to go young, right, and give your young guys a bunch of minutes, it's key to have a certain kind of veteran in your locker room. I think adding a Marcus Smart and a Chris Middleton is good for the fabric of this culture as they try to, you know, find an identity and figure out a culture as to who they're going to be. Your thoughts overall on the Wizards trade deadline?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the relatively newish regime, I should say, is continuing to clear the decks and start trying to organize properly. And let's take as many flyers on young players as we can while we're in this situation, right? It's not a place where it's like, hey, we need to be winning right now. We're just not, the team is not in that position. And I think, you know, it's good to have veteran experience. You know, it's Marcus Smart for this season and next season, Chris Middleton for the end of this season, and then he has a player option, and we'll see what happens with that. But I think you're in an interesting position of, you know, we've seen what it looks like when you just have all young guys, because then it's nobody's there to really sort of be that veteran presence, mm-hmm. to kind of be that calming influence. And no offense to Jordan Poole, I just don't see him as that way. So I think having Middleton and Smart there is good veteran pickups for them to kind of start finding those opportunities.
When you look at some of the young pups that they've brought in here, A.J. Johnson, obviously the 23rd pick in this year's draft, Alex Saar at number 2, Bub Carrington at 18, and then you got Keyshawn George at 24. I don't know how much Wizards basketball you've been able to consume this year. It's really not good for your health, they say, Mo. But when you look at the way some of their young pups have played and, you know, your profile on some of these guys pre-draft, what do you make of it?
Yeah, no, I like these guys. I mean, first off, just starting with the guys that you guys had before the deadline. Like, I've always been a Bilal Coulibaly fan. I'm pretty high on him.
Yeah.
Even so much so that I made a prediction on Bleacher Report a few weeks ago that, you know, like he will be an All-Star by 2028.
Wow.
But, you know, so I think I'm pretty into him. I think, you know, Bob Carrington's really good. I think Alex Saar is really good. And then you add guys like A.J. Johnson, who, listen, he went to Milwaukee. You just knew Doc wasn't going to play him. So now it's us getting an opportunity to kind of get a full look at him and see what he can do is pretty big, you know, and getting an idea of, like, is this a guy that can come in and be an actual piece for us over the next few years? Can we put him in? Can we develop him? Can we build him up? I think it just kind of puts them in a smart position.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And I'm watching the game here in the studio, man. AJ does not look shy at all, getting downhill, pushing the ball in transition. So I'm excited for the opportunity that he's going to be afforded here. When you look at Alex Saar, man, and there was a lot of people that were down on him after the summer league. I think he's been, you know, a real influential guy on the defensive end here to start. You can see the way he adjusts shots in games. He was shooting the ball from the perimeter really well, Mo, before he rolled his ankle. When you look at a guy like Alex Saar, obviously for the Wizards to get into championship contention, and I know that's a ways way off, you need one of these young pups to turn into a star. When you look at the current young pieces that the Wizards have, is Alex Saar, in your mind, the guy that's got, you know, the most potential of this group, or do you view that as Bilal Coulibaly?
For me, it's Bilal, because I just think, you know, like, I was a big fan of him before the draft. You know, I had done a bunch of Wemby games for the NBA and was able to kind of you get Bilal as your teammate and you see that. And I was extremely surprised with the fact that, you know, I thought he came in. I said, listen, he's going to take some time. He's a project. He's going to be really raw. I thought he came in his rookie year and showed off more than we expected, a little bit more. Like, hey, this might come earlier than we think. I think that's a good sign there for the Wizards. And I'm not saying that to put down Saar. I think Saar has got a bright future as well. Yeah. Look, you need rim protection. You need guys that can – and he can step out and shoot and stuff. And, you know, kind of rehabbing, coming back from those the rolled ankle, it's going to take a minute to kind of find your footing because so much of your shot comes into your balance and whatnot. And I think trusting that will matter for him. I look at those two guys. Those two guys are building blocks. Those two guys are guys you can start with to build with. I know everybody was down on him because of summer league, but I think we tend to overrate summer league, whether you were great in summer league or whether you were bad. I think we kind of forget that summer league's a summer league. It's very different than you know, getting an opportunity to play training camp and having practice and really get put in through the stretches. But for me, I'm betting pretty high on Bilal right now.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. Love what he brings on the defensive end. You're seeing now with Kuzma being gone and some of the vets being gone, more opportunity for him on the ball. And it's interesting to see his personality come out too, man. He's got a vlog, Mo, that he's doing on YouTube. And to see a quiet, reserved guy that I'm around a pretty decent amount, man, to be exposing himself to the public like this, it's interesting. And I think it's all a part of his growth and development. Obviously, the rest of the NBA, Mo, on fire. Right up to the trade deadline yesterday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I want to start with the Luka Doncic trade with you, Mo, because I can see it from both sides. If you're Nico Harrison, obviously he's receiving death threats, Mo, about, you know, the decision to move off of Luka Doncic. I think that's just totally ridiculous and extreme, but kind of speaks to the displeasure of the Mavs fan base. I view it, Mo, as a deal that kind of fits more of their 2 to 3 year window and kind of puts their 5 year window on hold. I don't think it's as bad of a trade on its surface as maybe folks are making it seem, because I think that Mavs team will be competitive in the Western Conference. Your overall reaction to the deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny when we talk about it as their three year window. It's just they didn't go to the finals last year with Luka.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it's not like they floundered with Luka and they haven't been able to break through. They went to the finals last year. They've been to the conference finals with him. And clearly you can win with Luka Doncic. That, I think, is the first starting point. So, you know, for me, though, like, you make this move, you have to win a championship in the next 3 years. It's not get close. It's not be a conference finals team. You have to win a championship with Anthony Davis and Kyrie to justify the fact that you did not extort the Lakers the way you should have. And I mean it, extort.
Yeah, it's Luka, Mo. I'm already
only
knowing.
Calling you.
Yeah.
We're only calling you. I am telling you now, we have to get everything. And if we're not getting everything, I am going to make another phone call.
Yeah.
You're not getting Luke. Like, this is your opportunity, Rob. For them, excuse me, for them to be able to get Luka Doncic for only one draft pick.
I mean, that's...
And Anthony Davis and Max Christie. I'm not trying to say this. Davis is a top 10 player, you know, when he's right. There's no questions about that. But, like, to be able to just get that is a coup for the Lakers. And I think that's just one of those things with Nico Harrison where you're like, okay, if you were going to trade Luka, I'm fine. You don't want to open up the biddings to everybody. Okay, you have to get everything you possibly can from the Lakers. And the fact that Mark Williams – the Lakers had to give up more for Mark Williams than they did for Luka Doncic in terms of just draft assets says a whole lot to me.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's going to be a move that gets judged here within the next couple of seasons. And it's kind of championship or bust mode for the Dallas Mavericks. Where do you put them in the kind of hierarchy of the Western Conference after acquiring Anthony Davis? And then the other part of this, Mo, I was really enjoying Kyrie Irving off the basketball. What type of dynamic do you think that brings back now, putting the ball back in his hands exclusively?
Yeah, I think he's better off the basketball.
Yes, I
think he's so much better attacking off of the weak side and things like that. I think now him being the lead ball creator, it's a little bit of a difficult challenge for him. I'm not sure that's something he really enjoys doing. I don't think that's something I would want to put him in that position. In terms of where I see this team, look, OKC to me is obviously better than everybody. I don't look at them and I think, you know, I think they have a chance to be good. I think they could be a top six team. I think they'll fight for the sixth seed with the Clippers and with Minnesota. But a lot of that also depends on the fact is Anthony Davis healthy? Like, he just exited the game with the Lakers, his last game against Philadelphia with an abdominal strain. That's not something that just goes away in 4 days. You know, there's a lot of questions that you got to make sure, like, okay, is he healthy? Is this going to work? Are we where we need to be? Getting what we can. I have a lot of concerns for them with that. I could see this working out and them being pretty good and pretty tough in the playoffs. I could also see this being a situation where, like, man, we miss out and we drop and we're out of it altogether. And listen, I don't condone anybody with the death threats or anything like that. This is ridiculous. This is a game. This is a sport. Like, this is kind of ridiculous that Nico Harrison is facing that. But it will get a whole lot worse if they don't make the playoffs. Like, this is kind of the situation. He's, you know, you've given up Luka Doncic, a top five player, top five player when you complain that he's out of shape, and he's still that is pretty amazing to me.
What do you make of the comments, though, man? Because it's sort of nasty to me because it didn't have to be framed the way that it was, and I think that all comes from the Mavs understanding the public perception of what the hell they did. Well, we got to say he was out of shape to kind of exacerbate the idea of, hey, they just personally felt like they couldn't move forward with him for whatever reason. I don't know. It feels more so like a situation that's come from ownership, but I don't know. It's hard to say a dude is out of shape when he's first team all NBA every year. He's leading you to the finals. I just don't know where it comes from. Can you remember a situation like this maybe from the past?
I mean, I think not where it led to a trade, but I mean, there were situations where, and this is going way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is probably like, Shaq coming into camp out of shape, but he never got traded because he was out of shape. You know, the situation with Vin Baker, you know, was something where we would always talk about him, like, being a little bit out of shape, and that turned out he was suffering from alcoholism and things like that. Like, I think there's a lot of stuff you're looking at. Like, I don't understand it when he's a top five guy.
Yeah.
And you went to the finals last year. Like, it just kind of boggles my mind where you got to the championship last year. So clearly there's a formula in which he's a winning player.
Exactly.
And you chose to kind of, and even then they were upset with his defense then with everything that was going on. I said, cool, but that's kind of your job, Nico, is to one, find a way to reach him and get him in shape and work with all that stuff. And the other side of it too is to build a team that works around him. So if he's your worst defender, then you better put forward unbelievable defenders on the floor. But
right.
It was a crazy trade, but this is a great, great trade for the Lakers.
Yes.
They're as happy as can be.
And looking at it from their vantage point, Mo, couple it with the deal to acquire Mark Williams, I don't know. Maybe I'm overstating it. I'm a huge LeBron James fan. I'm a Wizards fan, but I love the Lakers because I think LeBron is, you know, my greatest of all time, being a young 27-year-old. But, like, am I overstating it that, like, this puts them in that contending situation in the Western Conference? Like, I don't know how active they will be in the buyout market. I think they could use another guard that can kind of get their own offense off the bench. But, like, where do you put this team right now after the acquisition of Mark Williams and Luka Doncic?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes – I think they're still probably in the top three, top four in the West. I think they're in that 3-4 range. Again, OKC is the clear number one, right? We're not going to have that debate at all. I think the other side of it then comes down to it is, where do you see teams – like, how do you feel about Denver? I think as long as they have Jokic, I'm probably going to put Denver ahead of them. Yeah. I think after that, then you can start having a conversation, because I think they're better than Memphis. I think they're better than Houston. I think the Clippers are a team that can kind of be really interesting. I think they're a team that whose moves have flown under the radar, but I think they're going to be an interesting team as well. I would probably put them third best in the West right now. And if the playoff matchups line up properly for them, they might be in a position where they can sneak into the conference finals again. But I don't know if they're championship level yet, because they still need more shooting, and I just don't see it on the floor yet.
Yeah, it's fair. I think it's going to be interesting to just see LeBron and Luka share the floor together, two of the best ever in the sport, in history of the NBA. So that's going to be fun to watch. When you look at a team like Memphis, man, I continue to be impressed how they've been able to stay afloat amidst injuries this year in what we consider a loaded Western Conference. When you watch this group play, do you consider them, when healthy, to be the biggest challenger to Oklahoma City out West?
I don't, and part of it is because I just worry about them on the wing. I don't think they're big enough. I think OKC struggles with teams with massive size. I think that's why teams like Denver, I actually think the Lakers can be a big problem for OKC. I think they struggle with size more than anything else. And even though they have Zach Edey, who's probably about as big as you can get, I don't know if they have much more after that. And I think they don't, and their style of play kind of meshes with OKC, doesn't clash with OKC. And I think OKC will just be better at that style than Memphis. So I'm not necessarily sure that Memphis is the team I would say that OKC should be afraid of. It's more those teams that have big guys and size that can kind of push them around. It'll get really interesting, though, to see how this kind of plays out, because I am content. This gets me in trouble with a lot of people, but, like, I don't think Oklahoma City's style fits playoff basketball. And I think if they run into the wrong team, they're going to have problems. And I think it's great regular season basketball. It's great for single-game elimination tournaments. But when it comes to a series, I think they're going to run into problems with just their system, their style of play, and teams finding a way to pick at it.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see, man. The playoffs are always a different animal from an intensity standpoint, just the way everything ratchets up. Interested to hear you feel that way about Oklahoma City, man.
I know I'm one of the few, because everybody wants to put them as the the absolute number one tier and just pencil them into the finals. I go, I'm not sure. I'm not necessarily convinced with that when I see them in situations where, like, hey, Shea has to be a monster, and he's capable of it. Don't get me wrong.
For sure.
For, you know, the entire playoffs, because I'm not sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like with Chet when he comes back and he's coming back tonight, and see how it plays with him and Hartenstein. But I just, for me, it comes down to rebounding, and this team still does not rebound well enough. And even though they force a ton of turnovers in the playoffs, I think that changes. And rebounding is one of the most important things come playoff time.
Yes.
And I don't know if OKC is going to be able to match that.
It's going to be tough. Cannot give extra possessions to your talented playoff opponent, Mo. I agree with you 110%. Always good catching up with you, my friend, talking all things hoops, man. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Oh, thank you for having me, brother.
One of the absolute best, our pal Mo Dakhil, who covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. Mo has been all around the globe covering basketball. Former NBA video coordinator for the Clippers, the Spurs, as well as the Australian men's basketball team. Mo Dakhil, one of the most knowledgeable when it comes to the NBA. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get you up to speed on the Washington Wizards. They're at home taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Score update coming your way. And then And then it is time for us to get into a little bit of burgundy and gold. The Washington Commanders with a big offseason upcoming. Last night, though, they were front and center with Jaden Daniels collecting hardware. How? I'll tell you next. They're on the fan.